gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. It has begun. We're plumbing the toilet of the cinematic calendar, the month of January. And this year we're talking about the crappiest genre in film, the video game movie. So grab some TP and pop a squat. This is Canuary. This week, we're on a leaky boat bound for the Outworld Arcade to drop some quarters and test our might in Mortal Kombat!
Insert really loud, awesome techno right here.
Ah! Yep.
1995. So, the video game movies got off to some fits and starts. We started with the first official live-action video game movie, Super Mario Brothers. In the middle, there was a Van Damme movie. And then we got Street Fighter.
We got Double Dragon somewhere in there.
And Double Dragon, yeah. But then we got this. And this made, off an $18 million budget, $122 million at the box office and was number one for like 8 weeks. I don't even know.
I saw it three times in theater.
Yeah. So, and this launched the career of Paul W.S. Anderson, who went on to do Event Horizon.
Soldier.
Resident Evil, a couple of movies there, Alien versus Predator. So this kind of launched his career.
Pompeii.
Yeah.
God, that was
How could
bad.
We forget? How could we forget? a movie so bad you have to lava it.
Ugh.
So, this is Mortal Kombat, you guys. First off, fans of the game?
Huge fan of the game. I'm still playing it. Well,
right. I mean, they keep making them, so how can you not?
There you go. So I keep playing them. So
the Mortal Kombat versus DC. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Warner bought them a couple of years ago, and they did that Warner that thing versus DC, and then after they decided to do Injustice,
yeah.
So they switch years. They do a Mortal Kombat and Injustice, and Mortal Kombat and Injustice. So that's kind of cool because it's the same system, but you have a couple of difference and right. All that. But let's on topic of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
this was revolutionary because there was all the blood and all that stuff, and this one came out at the same time as Mortal Kombat 2, I think, the video game.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit after, because there's some character of Mortal Kombat 2 in there, and that was huge at that point. If you were able to do the fatality in your high school, you were the king of high school.
Sure. King of the arcade.
Yep.
It was kind of cool to see them work in all the different characters. Some worked better than others. I was a fan, yes.
Dropping quarters, or were you playing on Genesis, or what?
I was dropping quarters, but we did have versions of it. Different friends had it on different systems and whatnot. So I can remember when they first made it to, was it Nintendo or whatnot? Made them come out with the non-blood, so it was all sweat-colored or whatnot.
Just the first one did that. The second one, they understood they needed the blood if they wanted to sell the game.
Right. So this is the first video game that I remember being the video games are making kids violent. Like this was the first one I remember was kind of like the moral panic of, oh no, our children are playing these video games and it's not just rotting their minds. It's making them beat each other up or engage in some physical activity, I guess, in acting out their little moves.
Mortal Kombat is basically responsible for the ratings of game because the government put them in front of the wall and saying, like, you regulate your shit or we will. And you don't want them to do that.
Right.
So.
And then they made it into a PG-13 movie because they wanted to appeal to a broad audience. And
God.
Fairly bloodless take on Mortal Kombat. I know people, I guess, are killed. We only really see blood once, and it comes out of Shao Kahn's mouth.
Yeah. Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
No, dear God. The writing of this, I kind of like the pacing where it's going and all that. The set pieces, the writing.
It's a brisk hour and 40 minutes, man. They do not waste time.
You got all that 90s comedy and like sexual tension that's still okay.
Yeah. And this is a movie where the casting is like so wrong, but at the same time, for what they're doing, it is pitch perfect. Like,
we're gonna cast a French guy to play a Chinese god.
Yeah, but it's a step up from casting a French guy to play a Scotsman and a Scotsman to play a Spaniard.
Well, that was wow. Yeah, that was But I Islander is at the bottom of my list too.
I know. That's why I brought that up. Christopher Lambert as Lord Raiden, in whatever kind of accent he uses.
That's weird. It's kind of an international English, which is very nondescript.
Yeah. He comes off as kind of like a surfer dude meets just like a weird fortune cookie type guy. I don't even know.
Agree. More fortune cookie, even. It's kind of weird laugh.
Yeah. But he's kind of stoned, too. Like, I get this, stoned Gandalf vibe from him. Or who was the wizard who was always stoned? Radagast the Brown, I guess?
Yes. Yes, that was funny. But I guess that's that miss before you get to Mortal Kombat Island. So.
Yeah.
God, they fight everywhere.
Robin Shu as Liu Kang. I mean...
Oh, the hair. He had such great hair.
The feathered hair, for sure. But, I mean, he's a good-looking young guy. He's clearly fit. He can speak good English. Good, right? Like, he's fine for what the character needed.
You got everybody's moves kind of worked in there, too.
Yeah. Carrie Hiroyuki Tagawa, who you can see more recently on Man in the High Castle.
Yes.
But awesome, awesome actor. Was in like The Last Emperor. Just a fantastic actor. As Shang Tsung.
He's so good.
Did I call him Shere Khan earlier? I might have. Shang Tsung.
Yeah. He's good. Is the only actor that I find good because he understood in which kind of movie he was?
Yes.
So he just went
with it. I mean, he's the bad guy in a Bruce Lee movie. Like, he just has to be the heavy and make faces and say, "Your soul is mine." Okay, Lyndon Ashby, Ryan Reynolds of the 90s as Johnny Cage.
When he was walking up, I got a Daredevil vibe before he pulled the glasses off the first time with the dark glasses, dark suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I can just see Jean-Claude Van Damme knowing the story of Mortal Kombat and how it came to be. That's the only thing I can see.
So that's the original was Jean-Claude Van Damme was going to be Johnny Cage but decided to do Street Fighter, right?
No, not at all. They were supposed to do a game around Jean-Claude Van Damme, and they started making assets and everything, and he dropped off of the contract, and they had all these assets and ideas, so they were like, let's just go with it and do our thing. Just remove Jean-Claude Van Damme of the thing. And then he did the
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, like, being pissed about the Mortal Kombat thing.
Okay. And Johnny Cage's character is kind of a Jean-Claude Van Damme-esque character where he's a legit martial artist, but no one takes him seriously because he's an actor in crappy movies.
Yep.
So, okay. Did you guys like Lyndon Ashby, did you enjoy his performance? I thought the comedy, like, he brought what the film kind of needed comedy-wise.
Yeah, but he's supposed also to bring, like, the gravitas of all that stuff, and he's very poor at it. All the subplot about the Roman subplot.
Sure. With Bridget Wilson Sampras, Sonya Blade.
Oh, I feel I know that name.
Pete Sampras, the tennis player.
Oh.
Her sexy 80s teased blonde hair after Shang Tsung takes her away.
Yeah, in that skimpy outfit and the
leather spiked dress.
I'm kind of chuckling here because fairly one-dimensional performance, I thought, from her. But at the same time, she clearly can kick ass, I guess. It was supposed to be Cameron Diaz.
No way.
She broke her wrist or something. Yeah, that's one of those. And she was replaced in the cast.
Good for her.
And kind of skipping through the cast a bit, but one guy that I really love is Trevor Goddard as Kano. Trevor Goddard was an Australian actor and kind of did these character bits. I believe the last film that he was in was the first Pirates of the Caribbean. He passed away in 2003, but I just kind of enjoy his character in this.
Yeah, he was fun. I mean, it gave Sonya a reason to be there.
Right. And I guess rounding out the cast, we have Princess Kitana. We also see Sub-Zero and Scorpion and Goro. Goro,
which is pretty horrible and not as horrible as it could have been.
Yeah. It's like remember the original Ninja Turtle movie where they're like puppets? It's like that on steroids with like less facial movement.
It's not good. It's really not good. Can't believe it's Telly Sasoto that was in this. She's a James Bond girl, for Christ's sake.
She's a Bond girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the rest of it is fine. I mean, those are really the only characters that have lines. Everyone else kind of grunts and talks in sound bites. Get over here.
Or is in CGI.
Yes. Yeah.
The little hand spike from Scorpion was pretty cool looking. The part through the woods.
Yeah, that's, I mean, again, I think that one of the things this film does well is it can put together some fairly well thought out set pieces. It uses the environments well. The one thing about Mortal Kombat is you always fought on a flat surface and it was just a screen and you could go to one corner or another corner and jump up in the air, but that was about it. Where I think this does a good job moving the fights into a three-dimensional space and playing with the environments a little bit. And, you know, what if you threw a bucket of water on Sub-Zero? What would happen? Like it asks these important questions. What if that thing that Scorpion throws at you missed and hit a tree? Like what happens then? But what would a flying bicycle kick actually look like?
Oh my God. What's funny is that the movie is just like cutting to these things one after the other with no real sense of time or place or whatever. But for some reason, it still works.
It's fine.
It should not work. Should not. They're going to do that again in the next one, and it's not going to work.
Well, I think what they do is they take what little story there is to Mortal Kombat, which, again, it's not a story-driven game. It's kind of like Mario, where there really isn't much of a story except good guys fight bad guys for the fate of the Earth because the plot demands it. So with this, they say, okay, fine, we're going to go with all that. We're going to lean in. We're going to have the characters comment on how stupid that is. But at the end of the day, we're just going to have people fight each other, and that's it.
True.
It definitely carries you through the movie, one fight after another.
Yeah.
And it moved faster than I remembered. Like, I was watching it, and all of a sudden, they're doing this and that, and then they're in Outworld. And I'm like, okay, this is like where stuff wraps up. Like, we got a couple more fights left, and that's it.
It does go really fast. That's something I appreciated of it. And it's not a knock on it. It's like it's the right time to keep your attention for that kind of movie.
Yeah. I think if they had done any sort of plot twist or tried to be clever with it, again, read Super Mario Brothers, make it into a commentary on something, I don't think it would have worked. They just went with the essence of what it was. They took what worked from the game, which is fighting each other. They did what they could with special effects and CGI. Again, clearly
it was bad. Cool in 95.
It was fine in 1995, and I guess there's something to be said for the fact that they made Goro a puppet, like an animatronic, rather than CG, because I feel like he's more intimidating because you can tell he's physically there, whereas the CGI lizard or whatever was just bad.
Reptile was bad.
Could you imagine if they just would have put like two extra arms on a big bodybuilder? How bad that would have looked too.
I liked that Goro's arms kind of all did their own thing. Like they all kind of went in different directions. And yeah, like when he puts his arm up in the air, one is kind of this way and the other's kind of that way. And
but you see him fight and then you see Scorpion fight and you're like, there's no way that guy won.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing, but...
Well, he does the thing where he can hold your arms so you can't punch him, and then he hits you with his other arms.
Yeah, but Scorpion is a mile away, and he's super slow.
Yeah,
sure. It's a little bit where I'm going with this.
Well, they're good thing they're on the same side then, right?
Yeah. But it's a good mix of different style, because after that, they're going to throw him in a pit... And that's going to look fake as crazy.
Ooh, those are $500 sunglasses, asshole.
They look like the $2 sunglasses you can get from any gas station.
Yep.
Yeah, and they probably were.
And his luggage.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad I didn't ask you to park the car.
So bad.
Yep.
Other stuff you guys want to bring up from Mortal Kombat?
The Scorpion Johnny Cage fight in the woods that led to like the dungeon. For a couple seconds there, he looked like Captain America with that shield.
Oh yeah, he would have been a good Cap. I think they could have done something with him in '90s Marvel Cinematic Universe if that happened.
I love the fact that they worked the Mortal Kombat logo with Spike at the end.
Yeah,
Spike's in the floor. Yep,
that looked great. Speaking of the sort of touches that they did, I like that they worked in each character's signature move or finishing move.
Yep.
Like even Scorpion, like pulling his helmet off or his face off and breathing fire, like that's straight out of the game.
I totally There's need this no soundtrack reason. Again.
Yeah. This I listen to all kinds of remixes and versions of the theme, including a couple that I posted in our chat. My favorite of which might be the Mortal Kombat theme on the bagpipes, played by a bagpiper on a unicycle with a flame shooting bagpipe.
Nice.
Wow.
That guy does a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I listened to a metal version.
Metal ones. It's now there's dubsteps. I also like the 8-bit version because it just takes me back.
Nice.
There's a moment early on in the film that kind of threw me. A couple ones early on. Again, as we kind of get to know the characters, it starts with Liu Kang having this dream, and then he gets a telegram that says, "Liu Kang, brother dead, return home." Like, not even the name of his brother.
Brother.
Brother dead.
And then doesn't it just say grandpa or something?
Yeah, it says grandpa. But, I mean, in a monastery, it could be any brother, right? Like,
yep.
Oh, true. I didn't even think of it that way.
I don't think the movie talked about that at all. They were just like, here's a piece of paper.
And then there's a kind of a Han shot first moment in the nightclub where Sonya Blade is running through the nightclub with a shotgun and a bad guy comes out with an Uzi. And rather than just see the bad guy with the Uzi and shoot him, she waits for him to open fire on the crowd of people before firing.
That's true.
Which I get that they wanted to, she didn't shoot first. She, you know, but he's again spraying a crowd of people with an automatic machine gun. So not cool.
Yeah. I think your intent is pretty well known when you come around the corner like that.
Right. Right.
He's trying to love us.
Yes, he wants to. He wants to hug us with his bullets.
He wants to hug us from the inside. Come on. Ouch. I'm almost sad we're not watching the second one next week.
So bad. I tried.
So bad.
Again, I was all jazzed for this. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch the second one. I'm like, I'm not going to watch this. Because everyone you like from the first one isn't in it.
Like, you have Liu Kang that stays.
That's it. That's it, right?
All the other actors are changed. They kill Johnny Cage in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Raiden.
It's a different guy. He looks different.
Yeah, Raiden is Dexter's father.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? And they go through Earth, through balls.
Yeah, the flying hamster balls through the inside of their planet.
Yeah. You have Jax that has his operation to not get to have his metal arms, and it's nuts.
It's doesn't work.
They turn into dragons and at the end. It's
And at one point you actually have someone say Mortal Kombat while the Mortal Kombat shout happens. He's like, yeah. Immortal Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Basically,
One of my favorite lines in the film, and this specifically applies to our podcast, Liu Kang says, he's talking to Johnny Cage, and he says, well, what if all the legends were true? And this is a thing that kind of happens in films, is they'll say, oh, well, the legend tells us that such and such is going to happen, and so is going to come and be the chosen one. And these are all, of course, legends you've never heard of. So Johnny Cage goes, What legends?
Yeah, totally use that.
What legends? This is Legends Podcast. What legends? All right, those are my notes.
I don't have a lot of notes. I just kind of soak this all in.
Yeah.
The thing is that there's 20 minutes of movies, and the rest is an hour and 20 minutes of people fighting really well. I'm not gonna dig the movie on that. It's well, 4.95. Okay, yeah. But it's before Matrix and all that thing. Right. So
Four years later, the Matrix happened. You're like, oh, okay, I get it.
But you know what? Watching it today, it's kind of refreshing to just see people.
Yeah, it's analog. There's no bullet time. There's no trickery, and they all broke bones. Like Robin Shu, I think, broke like 4 ribs in one scene.
Oh my god! But that's it. They kick the shit out of each other, trying not to kick the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
So there's something fun with this, but there's not much. There's no character motivation or big.
I mean, it's fine. Again, I don't need your motivation. I don't need your backstory, Scorpion. Just be the guy that shows up and does your thing. And
yeah, exactly. But that explains why we don't have lots of notes except highlights. But
yeah, again, yeah, highlights.
So guys,
also immediately this film sets up its sequel, and Mario Brothers also in its closing shot set up the sequel that never happened. But all right, so finishing, if Beef,
yes,
Wing and Lobster were playable characters in Mortal Kombat, what would your special move be? Your fatality, if you will.
Something dirty, I'm sure.
Okay.
Something dirty. Yeah, you take their head off. Do you cut their head off and you fuck it or something like that?
God.
No, something dirty. I shared it in the thing. I don't need to share it here. Just know that it's dirty.
I believe the phrase you used was bukkake.
I think it was.
That's not bad.
Wing?
Oh, I would probably have like a zip line through an eye comes back with the head.
Okay. All right.
That would be cute.
Nice. So I was thinking I'm Lobster. I would throw them in a lobster pot and boil them. Or because I'm known through our podcasting circles for my love of poop jokes, I could do the skid mark move.
Oh, jeez.
Leave that one to your imagination, what it might look like.
Have a big pile of rubber bands and wrap everybody up.
Yeah. Very true. No, I can't punch him. I hit my claw. Oh, no.
Well, we know what our animalities would be, so we're good.
That's easy. Yeah, very easy. Again, the lobster.
All right. So, Wing, for Mortal Kombat, are you going legendary?
Flawless victory.
Legend of its time.
Genre genesis.
Cult legend.
To my greatest fan, Johnny Cage.
Awesome.
Button masher.
Entertaining.
I could see his guts and everything. Disgusting.
Mabel.
Sorry.
Forgettable.
Finish him.
Abysmal.
Fatality.
Springbreakers Highlander.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah, it could go on that list.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of bad CGI lizards. Again this week with the bad CGI lizards.
That's true.
Yoshi looked better.
Yeah, Yoshi looked good. That's what we said last week. But this reptile and this look like shit. But yeah, Mortal Kombat Annihilation should be on that short list because, oh dear God. I'm going to go Mabel. Oh. It's fun to watch, but I've watched it so much at this point. I don't think it old up that much. Like I said, my big interest was fun to see people actually fight and not just like being intercut and all that shaky cam that we're getting these days. So that I really, really, really enjoy. But to say that I was entertained, it's No, I'm going to stay with Mabel. I'm too on the edge. A very solid Mabel, but if entertaining would be with friends, I guess. Beef?
I think I got to follow suit. Give it a...
Sorry.
Mabel with a side of nostalgia for some bad CGI lizards. This isn't a highbrow movie. There isn't a lot of plot. There isn't a lot of story. But you get exactly what you want going into it. It's like DOA from a few years after this.
DOA is better than this.
You're going to get a handful of fight scenes, some hot chicks, some action. I don't know. It was fun. This took me back to 95 right away. I did see it a few times in the theaters as well. So it was all right. I played on my phone while I was doing it for some of the slow talking parts, and there weren't many. So this isn't one I'll be... revisiting quite often, but I did definitely enjoy lurking for 2 hours on it this time.
Now, see, the phone thing is also why I go Mabel usually. If it's entertaining, I don't want to look at my phone. Yeah.
For sure. Lobster?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to rate this higher than either of you. I might go all the way up to Button Masher. Whoa. On this one, just because this is the kind of movie that is fun to dig out once a decade and look at it just for what it is. I mean, this is not highbrow movies, but it really, for me, encapsulates what makes a good video game movie work. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It leans into the tropes of the game and kind of comments on them, but it's like, okay, well, these are the rules, so here we go. And it doesn't try to overthink what it's trying to do. Again, I feel like a couple of the video game movies that we're going to talk about later this month either go the too convoluted route or they try to take themselves too seriously. Whereas this is just like, nope, you want a thing where people fight each other and do crazy shit, and that's what we're going to give you. And it's got a kick-ass soundtrack. It is... I'm not going to say it's a great cast in any other movie, but I think they're perfect for this movie, and everything comes together fine. Again, could you go back to this now and do a decent update with the same parts? I think you actually could. You could update some of the CGI and stuff like that, but don't change the soundtrack, man.
No, same soundtrack. And you're right, though. They may not have been the perfect actors, but they were the perfect actors for these parts.
The sum of these parts make this movie work for some reason. It's really weird.
That, to me, is awesome. It's almost like when you sit down to play the game, you have no idea what you're doing, you're just mashing the buttons together, and you win. It's good.
That is a great analogy. Yep. All right, last word for Mortal Kombat, fellas.
All right, can we do it on three?
Two.
One.
One.
Two.
Mortal Kombat! Oh, That was horrible. I'm totally cutting that. Right.
That's good.
Wing, last word?
Fatality.
Finish him.
Flawless victory. Your soul is mine. Your brother's soul is mine. Your mother's soul is mine. Your plumber's soul is mine.
Dear God, all these souls. What are you going to do with that?
What's he going to do with all those souls?
I don't know. He never explains.
News time.
Okay, where do we start on the news?
The box office. Okay. It.
What's good in the box office?
Jumanji is still slaying.
Yeah, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is now in first place. This is kind of a stunner. Maybe not. Again, you guys let me know. Star Wars is still going to be the number one movie of 2017, last year, right?
Yeah.
It already was. Like, they can't take away that title.
1.2 billion.
So is this a win, or is this just kind of inevitable that Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is a good movie? People are going to see it and telling their friends to go see it. Whereas Star Wars, everybody went and saw it once, and it didn't have the replay value that, say, Force Awakens had.
How many times you guys saw it?
Star Wars The Last Jedi?
Yeah.
I saw it once.
Once.
Beef? I met three times.
Okay.
What's yeah. That? You guys are slacking.
It's all right. How many times have you seen Jumanji?
I haven't.
Okay. I have seen Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and it is good, and I would recommend you see it.
That's a good point.
So
that's a very good point.
Who is the slacker?
Well, Star Wars is very good.
It is very good. I agree. And again, this is one of the things where I don't think this is really taking anything away from Star Wars. I think Star Wars The Last Jedi is a very good film. We all agreed to that. However, let another film be number one at the box office that deserves it. And I think Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, if there is going to be a film that is going to take Star Wars' seat in the throne, it's a good pick. And again, I saw it, really enjoyed it. We're talking about video game movies right now, and it fits with that conversation.
Yeah, I feel it's going to be there next year if we do another video game movie moment.
Yeah. But it can't be January because it's good. It doesn't belong in the can. Don't well, flush.
Then
Don't
we're
flush.
Never going to talk about it.
Let it mellow.
Oh. Damn it.
Also, I think the shock is that Insidious, The Last Key, came in above Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm looking at that and I'm like, wow.
The fourth Insidious film.
Yeah, but you know how people are with their horror films. Horror fan base is relatively rabid. So,
and again, this is January, so it is the toilet of the calendar, and these movies start to come out.
Great Showman is getting destroyed.
The Great Showman, I think, is doing fine. It only dropped 11% this weekend, stayed in number four. Where did Downsizing go?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's shrunk.
Again, like, I don't think there's anything bad to say about that. The Greatest Showman is kind of like Murder on the Orient Express this month, where in December, Murder on the Orient Express kind of hung in there. Greatest Showman, I think, is going to hang around for a bit.
That cost $84 million. Holy moly. Okay, that's a movie that was expensive.
Another strike against The Last Jedi. Remember, we were talking about, we were waiting to see how it performed in China.
China doesn't give a shit.
China doesn't care. It opened in second place, a distant second, behind a rom-com sequel. So it doesn't look like Last Jedi is going to take the overall worldwide box office. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's still by and large a hit.
They have, whatever people think of this movie overall, they were expecting a drop.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a bad, you know, your movies still make $1.2 billion worldwide.
You're still number one at the domestic box office for an entire year in only 15 days. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So they just know. Now the question is that do people are going to show up for the end of the trilogy?
Yeah, they're going to show up.
Yeah, but as much? Or are we going to see more people or another drop? But it's JJ. JJ is more like candy as...
Yeah. And again, they've got time to reset. I think a lot of what I'm seeing people say now is if you look at what JJ left for Rian Johnson, which is here's, you know, do something with these plot lines that I've set up. I think he handled it the best that he could. And I think, again, as we've said, Last Jedi is good. And I think that there's enough there that's going to keep people interested in the next one.
Oh, I'm not going to see it. Pfft, whatever.
What? Piece of shit.
It's a joke.
God damn, they did that thing where that guy did the thing and then he wasn't
did,
even.
Then he did the thing, yeah. Yeah.
And they killed Admiral Akbar off screen.
At least they mention him by name later in the movie. At least.
Lost Admiral Akbar.
Yeah, look at these new actors. That's all we have left.
Oh, we only have these young hot people. Oh.
Isn't that convenient? Great.
That's how life happens.
I know.
That's the way the Wookiee crumbles.
Oh my God!
God, I love this movie though.
Okay. Moving on. So DC Films has been struggling.
Yeah,
that's a word.
Walter Hamada has been tapped to oversee the DC Films production. Now, Wayne, you've got a bit of inside baseball knowledge on Warner and DC. Who is Walter Hamada? What should we know about him?
Walter Hamada was if I remember, not a studio producer, but he was in charge of a studio that produced part of the satellite stuff of the DC universe, like a Lego movie and stuff like that. So it kind of makes sense that they're bringing him there. And isn't he the guy that did something like It this year?
Right. So he worked as a production executive at New Line. And made It, The Gallows, The Conjuring happen. And he's also tight with James Wan, who's directing Aquaman. So, again, the Annabelle films, it seems like he knows how to take a property and work with it and build a fan base.
Yeah, the only problem I would say with a guy like that is he still has this old vision of movie making. On how a studio should be handled, and I think that anyway, I hope that he's gonna be able to emulate what it's getting to work in studios right now. Satellite studios are working. Yeah. Disney's proving that this is the way to go. You're not just Warner anymore. You need these little outreach of DC and other division. So if he's able to do something like that and have the vision to do that, that would be great. But
yeah, we'll see how he can get along with others. I think that's kind of the
thing.
Yeah. Is if he can listen to somebody like Jeff Johns, who knows comic books, and say, okay, let me handle the production side of it. Let me recruit talent in terms of getting directors who can execute that vision. Then I think that's a good relationship to have.
Yeah, agreed. The other Warner changed too. It's Toby Emmerich. I didn't know that. I had no idea who that guy was before the news, but that's not surprising. So at this point, they had to, I management had to move. So now what's going to be interesting is to see that the next layer of management is not going to change, because these are the CEOs and chairmen and all that jazz that are going to take the decision of who stays, who goes, what's the next direction. So I'm very curious to see who are the next people to go and to come.
Okay. Cloverfield, the untitled parentheses, I think it's been called God Particle. We talked about it premiering in February, and we're like, how's that going to happen? Because we don't know anything. It's been pushed back to April of this year.
It was announced. So, it was initially announced for a February 24th, 2017 release date.
Yeah. It's been moved a couple times.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm still excited.
Again, I think with the Cloverfield films, they like to wait, I think, until they have, like, Cloverfield, like 10 Cloverfield Lane, I think in particular, wasn't really marketed as much as they're like, this is a thing, go see it. And people went and saw it and were like, oh, this is good, you should go see it. But they didn't really give away what it was or what it was about.
But if I may, right now, I think that's the best way to create universe. Yeah. It's not slamming dark universe and stuff for your thing.
Well, this is going to be a thing, and 8 more movies you're going to have to pony up for. So I hope you like this one.
Yeah, and the end of Split. That was brilliant.
Right. Backdoor. Backdoor pilot, right?
Yeah, all these ideas like, oh, that actually we could take that great movie and change nothing about it, just make it in that universe, and that's gonna work. That's how you build a universe. At some point you get characters that you can do other stuff with. Just start small. Very small. Be a grower.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be a grower, not a shower. Good. Good. Very good. Did you guys watch the Golden Globes?
Watch the highlights. The Seth Meyers introduction was awesome.
Yep. Oprah for president, I guess.
Sure. Anybody.
So, did you take a look at the winners? Does anybody want to call something out?
I didn't know any of those shows or any of that. I didn't know any of the winners.
Okay.
I look at the Golden Globes a little bit to see if you haven't like an idea for the Oscars, but the whole concept of the Golden Globe for me is totally ridiculous because it's basically
the Hollywood Foreign Press, which is basically a bunch of non-American people picking.
It's weird. Yeah. Anyway,
I will call out Guillermo del Toro winning Best Director for The Shape of Water. I think that is cool.
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman, again, great. James Franco winning for Disaster Artist, I think is interesting. Handmaid's Tale winning Best Drama Series, up against things like Game of Thrones and Stranger Things.
Wow.
I think that's good. I mean, there's no real kind of shocks to me. Everyone's like, oh, you know, this was a snub, or, you know, this person didn't get for this, and yeah.
But again, it's a group of like 12 to 15 people that vote on these.
I don't even know. Yeah.
Yeah, as the Oscar is the people that work in the industry and work in basically that are member of the Academy. And if you work in closely enough, you're a member of your guild. So you're a member of the Academy. So it has more work to me than a bunch of 15 white male.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it makes no sense to me. It's the best party in Hollywood, though. It is the best party in Hollywood. So
I want to go to a Hollywood party.
You should. You should know some people.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta have your agent call their agent. And
I think I have to have an agent first.
Do lunch.
Your people's going to talk our people, and we're going to have lunch.
All right. Since this is Canuary, you guys ready to take a dump? A trailer dump
show.
Finish him.
This first one, Game Over Man, it looks pretty cheesy.
It does, but at the same time, it looks kind of fun.
Looks awesome. Looks like the kind of movie I would want to go see in the theater, which is weird because it's on Netflix. This is another Netflix original movie from the Workaholic crew.
That's the part that I'm afraid of.
Got me with the hook, though. They did Shaggy. It wasn't me. Right. I was sold.
Have you seen a good Netflix movie?
No, but I don't know if I've actually watched one of their original films. No, that's not true. I saw Beasts of No Nation. I watched that.
That was good. Okay.
That was good.
You're right.
That was a good movie. Also, not this. This is not Beasts of No Nation. So...
Yeah, because they had their string of Adam Sandler atrocities. Yes,
they have. They have done that.
Then they had War Machine, which, dear God, I can't believe I finished this movie. Yeah.
And Bright. Don't forget Bright.
Bright wasn't horrible.
But I feel like, so we've seen directors like Spielberg and Soderbergh talk about how movie studios aren't making the little movies anymore. They're mostly getting farmed out to like independent film companies.
Yep.
And it's kind of interesting that Netflix is saying, no, we'll make these little weird movies. We've talked about a bunch on here, The Polka King, this. We're going to talk about another one in a second, the National Lampoon movie, A Futile and Stupid Gesture. So I think that it's kind of neat that Netflix is funding these movies and doing cool stuff with them.
Netflix is, yes, but don't become Roger Corman, you know?
No, but I think there's a place for movies that are fun and fun to watch that maybe aren't necessarily what's getting put on the big screen, but still are cool. I don't know.
It's interesting to see other people have outlets.
Is this becoming our straight on video?
Is it becoming our what?
Or straight on video. Yeah.
Maybe, but I'm okay with that. Like, there's.
Yeah, me too.
There are some good movies that went straight to video and got rented a lot and people liked them. Whereas I think there's a little bit more prestige to, like, it's a streaming thing. So I sent a video to Beef from Funny or Die, which was a bunch of young people explaining to their friends and family getting cast in a new movie and how their scenes are about having sex. And they're like, it sounds like you're doing porn. And they're like, no, it's an HBO series. And they're like, it's not porn, it's HBO. It's not direct to video, it's Netflix.
Yeah, it's such a great little video because everyone they're telling is, you know, freaking out. Oh my God, you're doing porn. No, it's HBO. And then they're relieved.
Sprays all over my tits.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah,
still though, funny. He's right.
Very funny.
There are some gems that do come out of direct to video or Netflix, if you will. So,
oh, I agree.
Bunch of them just won Golden Globes
for your $10 a month, though. Yeah. That's well worth having access to all that.
No, I agree with all everything that we're saying here. But
there's a lot of shit that ends up on the big screen.
I just think that they're putting a lot of money in these direct to video movies, you know.
Well, they've got it to spend. I don't know what to tell you. Red Sparrow. Basically Jennifer Lawrence does Black Widow.
Yep. Looks awesome. This
looks good.
Yep.
And the last trailer, Blockers. Took me a second to figure out what was being blocked, and then I realized that's what the rooster's for.
That's pretty good.
This actually looks fun. I think the morality of it is probably a little dated, but it's kind of a cute concept.
That is nothing I'm interested to watch, but you skipped a futile and stupid gesture.
Oh, right. I mentioned it briefly.
That looks good.
As another Netflix film, it's kind of a comedy biopic, dramatic retelling of National Lampoon, which, again, started as a magazine and then branched out into film. And it's kind of cool because they're recreating scenes from Caddyshack and Animal House, but they have obviously not Bill Murray and stuff, so it's fun.
It looks good. I like the style it has. Probably it's going to be a little bit weird, but I like it.
I mean, basically, it starts with the founder of Animal House telling you to blow him, so it's good.
Good, it's great.
All right, anything else we want to discuss in news?
I got nothing.
I think that's the week in news.
Fatality.
Next time, Legends Podcast, Dungeons and Dragons.
What?
Nerds. Oh dear, I forgot about that.
That's the 2001, correct?
I believe the year 2000.
It's the one with Jeremy Irons.
We're gonna have more bad CGI lizards. Well, dragons, but this. Why are we doing this again? So we said it's not a video game movie, but they've done
video games
about Dungeons and Dragons, but it's a game movie, and it's also a really, really bad movie.
It's something, but
so
it's kind of deserving to be watched.
Bring your 20-sided die, and we'll roll for initiative. Dungeons and Dragons.
Nerds.
Oh, make sure you write up your character sheet and give it to your DM.
Watch Jeremy Irons, because his performance is stellar.
And he's in Red Sparrow, too.
Yes.
And Alfred Pennyworth.
All right. Stop it. This has been episode 355 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying fatality.
I'm John D saying I can't wait for Jeremy Iron.
I'm John O. Lobster saying Skidmark fatality.
You smell burning rubber.
Ooh. I'm gonna Chinese cookie you.
Oof.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.